Hello everyone, it's Nico here in the CIS Project Podcast. Yes, I'm here today. I'm going to be talking to Rosie. Rosie, she's part of the CIS. Those who don't know what CIS stand for Community Info Source, Best in Class School. So please welcome to the podcast and take me through about a little bit about yourself before we move to our first question.
Hi, my name is Rosie Eglin. I'm the Buddy Volunteer Coordinator within the Wellbeing Project at Community Info Source, or CIS.
Thank you for joining me on the CIS podcast. I've got some questions for you here, so I'm going to go straight to question number one. How would you explain CIS to someone that did not know anything about it?
Like yourself, yes, as a organization which consists of a really diverse, kind of varied bunch of people, from staff to volunteers to community members as well, who also make up the organization. And it's an organization providing many different types of support to Glasgow's asylum and refugee community. You know, from unique approaches to preventing violence against women to just a diverse range of well-being activities and projects, and holding MIAs to account on their housing provision. We do all kinds of stuff.
For me as well, I volunteer in different charities and projects in Glasgow, but I just want to ask you a quick one. Would you describe CIS as a charity or a project?
So we are officially a charity, and then we're made up of about three projects within it. So that's the Challenging Violence Against Women project, the Women and Asylum Seeker Housing project, and then the Wellbeing project, which is the one I'm primarily a part of.
Okay, great explanation there. As I promised again, I said I've got questions for you. So now we're moving to question number two. How would you explain what charity or non-government NGO is to someone who did not know about the idea?
Well, I suppose I would categorize a charity or an NGO as a tool to support people who, for some reason, through no fault of their own, are in a difficult or precarious situation, which could be many different things.
I totally agree there. I know what you mean. Could be many things in these situations, but I know the projects are doing their best to actually help asylum seekers and refugees. But I'm going to move to question number three. How did you feel, and what impression did you have on your first time in CIS, and how you feel now?
So the first time I came to CIS, my first impression was just that everyone was so friendly. It's a very warm place. It feels quite unique and different from other charities and organizations that I've worked or volunteered with before. And I would say that now that's still my impression. The only difference is, I suppose, I have a better understanding of the wide range of work that we do. And, you know, it's very impressive. I think we're a really impressive team. We've got a lot of really strong staff and volunteers who obviously we really rely on. And I think that the role of volunteers in CIS is one of the most unique things about us. And yeah, I have a big appreciation for that.
Yeah, I fully understand what you explained there about volunteering with CIS. I'm just wondering, what are the benefits for volunteers?
So in terms of benefits for volunteers. We're really keen to show our appreciation. Obviously, it's so, so important. So we do provide training. This year we had first aid training, which we invited volunteers along to, GDPR training, safeguarding training. We have an upcoming well-being day where we're going to be trying to instill more of an attitude of well-being across the organization, and we will always invite volunteers along to training. Also, as part of the well-being project, we regularly organize outings and walks and trips. So that's sometimes outside of Glasgow, like we've been to Edinburgh or the Kelpies, or you know, walks up Connaught Hill, but sometimes they're just in Glasgow as well, and we get together for a community meal or just a walk around a local park for a picnic. And we always would invite volunteers along to this, giving them out-of-pocket expenses as well.
Oh, thank you, Rose, to hear that. My quick question to you is this: how do you work around non-English speaking refugees and asylum seekers?
Yeah, so this is why it's so important that we have such a diverse range of volunteers across CIS in all the projects, because people who cannot speak English at a conversational level or read English obviously can regularly be excluded from activities and volunteering, and it's just such an extra barrier to people. So we try and encourage volunteers who have different languages that we see popping up in the community quite regularly, which means that if they want to attend activities or volunteer or become part of any of the projects, usually we can rely on a volunteer or a staff member to be able to interpret, which enables them to participate.
I really enjoyed talking to you, Rose, on this podcast. It's really nice. You actually taught me about CIS, which means I kind of actually understand about CIS more. And I still want to get more juice on this, because the next question is actually about you around this project. And I think in that case, I'm going to just get more knowledge about CIS. And so, yes, question number four. What do you find useful, helpful, or welcoming at CIS, and what do you find unhelpful or difficult?
So what's helpful is that we are just such a friendly bunch of people, I would say. Like, we all get on quite well. You know, we try to treat each other with kindness, and we always listen to each other. We've always got each other's backs when things can get tough. I feel quite listened to, and that our opinions matter about, you know, the service we're providing. In terms of what's unhelpful, I suppose the answer would be the political climate in which we work in is quite unhelpful. And, you know, sadly, that does lead to a lot of stress. You know, we're also working with people who have experienced a lot of trauma. This takes a massive toll. People who are dealing with mental health issues, all kinds of, you know, all kinds of past experiences, which you wouldn't wish on anyone. So, you know, sometimes that can lead to tension, sometimes it can lead to stress, but we always manage to work things out. The important thing is to listen to each other and just to be supportive and understand that, you know, we're all working towards the same thing. It's just the Home Office and the political situation in the UK right now doesn't make this job very easy.
Yeah, I fully understand myself how difficult it can be actually at your work. And as you said earlier about working people going through trauma and stuff like that. But my question now is, like, do you think it's helpful or difficult to have so many organizations and projects in Glasgow working on the same ground to help asylum seekers and refugees? Or do they get on well or not well? So I want to hear from you for your own experience since you've been working with this organization and networking as well. So what is your opinion on this?
I think it's a really great thing that Glasgow has so many organizations working towards supporting asylum seekers and refugees. And yeah, we love to work in collaboration with other organizations. There are so many great ones, and you know, sometimes we provide a similar service, sometimes we all provide something completely different. So signposting is a big part of what we do, especially in well-being, because sometimes there's an issue that we might not be able to help someone with, like, for example, supporting them to help, you know, to sign up their child into school, or, you know, anything at this time that we're not providing, we can usually point elsewhere. And it's really important to have good relationships with other organizations within Glasgow. And, you know, I love that because it means that people have more options and, you know, the more support that's available, the better, I suppose.
As I said from the beginning of the podcast, that I have questions. I did mean it. And this question is something about the purpose of this podcast. It's about you today to be on this episode and the projects and sharing your own views, your own experience. And yeah, just share, and actually it's kind of raising awareness as well, and talk about how you see this project and how you see yourself on the project as well, and how other people, special service users, they could actually also understand about CIS. So the question is, what are these things to you? Interest, strength, achievements, fears, or anything would you like CIS and volunteers to know about you?
About me? Ooh, that is a tough question. Strengths, this is always a difficult one to answer. I would say I just really like working with people. That's my favorite thing. I've done jobs where I've just worked in an office all day in front of a computer all day before. And, you know, I really hate that. I really love working with people. I really buzz off working with people. And so maybe that could be considered a strength. I don't know. Interests, I really love, you know, I'm quite interested in politics. In all things Spanish, I like to visit different parts of Scotland. You know, I'm not a Scottish native, as you can tell. So yeah, that's an interest of mine. Fears, again, I would just relate to the political situation, I suppose. I think, you know, we're all a bit worried. Well, at least all of us here are quite worried about the way things are going in terms of not only, you know, asylum and immigration policy, but a few different things which make this type of work really challenging. But, you know, we can all support each other. We're all a bunch of quite, you know, we're all a really different bunch of people, but something that unites us is that we really care about this issue. Some people have personal experience, some of us don't, but we're all working together under this one goal, and that's something that brings us a lot of strength and unity, I think.
Yes. So you have nothing to tell to say to the CIS and volunteers. I know you already mentioned about yourself. I think this, I don't know, you don't have to actually, but it, personally, I think you look very excited to be part of CIS and stuff like that. I think they can understand that. But maybe because this is the last questions, you can just say something. What do you think about the podcast of CIS? Do you think it's a good idea, like raising awareness? Or I don't know, just say something. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was really excited when I heard we were going to have a podcast, because it's nice to have the opportunity to show people what we do and, you know, showcase the amazing people that we work with, our amazing volunteers, our amazing staff. Like, we've changed so much from when we first began, and grown into, you know, a charity which has a much wider reach. And, you know, we're such a lovely coming together of the grassroots beginnings that we had, and then now having more staff members, reaching more people, moving into new areas. Yeah, it's an exciting time to be in CIS, so an excellent time for the podcast.
Okay, thank you. Great explanation there. If you want to hear more about this podcast, you can go to any social media for community info source. For the podcast, you can go to www.wetalkpodcast.co.uk and share it with your friends and your networks.